It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. So last time we were talking about the presidential rematch that is fast approaching, and you said there were some issues that could change the dynamics of the race. Specifically what?
I think the three to focus on are the economy, immigration, and abortion. Let's start with the economy. We have heard this because of the historic nature of this matchup. We're seeing the two 2020 major party nominees facing each other again in 2024. That question that Ronald Reagan first asked to such effect when he took on Jimmy Carter in 1980, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? It is a question that the Biden campaign will gleefully ask. And we've heard Donald Trump ask it as well. And they, former President Trump's perceived answers obviously would differ significantly from that of the Biden administration. But often that centers around the economy. And what the Biden campaign will argue is, up through the March jobs report, there have been 15 million jobs created since Biden took office in January 2021. The unemployment rate is at 3.8%. GDP is growing at a decent clip. They're going to argue that by many of the metrics of the economy, there is a case for Biden winning a second term. Now, what gets in the way for them is the rate of inflation, which we recently saw tick up from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. And the cost of living is going to be an ancillary part of that economic debate, and it's going to undermine Biden's argument. We saw him try to take it on a little bit in the State of the Union, where he talked about a funny term, shrinkflation, where product manufacturers are selling items in smaller quantities at the same
time. Yeah, he went off script to talk about, what was it, Doritos or something?
Yeah. And it is an issue that apparently Senator Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, who's facing a tough re-election campaign, has made an issue. But I would argue that's a pretty nuanced topic for a lot of consumers. I think the president has to begin to talk about the price of a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread and a dozen eggs and cereal at almost $6 a box, depending on the brand that you like. He's got to face that. He's got to at least acknowledge, yes, I get it. Weekly grocery bills are still pinching. Here are some things I want to do to make sure you have more take-home pay to deal with that. That is a weekly reminder to most voters of aspects of the economy that don't get tapped into with those other measures that I described.
There was Snickers, by the way, Tim.
Oh, was it Snickers? Well, we'll leave it there so as not to anger the Snickers lobby, but shrinkflation, it's an interesting topic, but man, there are more basic metrics that the president needs to use in order to connect. That's his calling card, his, you know, Joe from Scranton, ordinary guy, knows what it's like to have to put food on the table. And I think he's got to recalibrate his economic message to recognize that.
And you were going to say immigration is also a looming issue.
Yeah, no question about it. On a number of fronts. And it is an issue that even in blue states like Massachusetts, I saw a recent poll here in Massachusetts, not one of ours, but one of the other excellent polling outfits in the state, that asked individuals, what is the most important issue facing the country today? And in Massachusetts, immigration was near the top because we're all taking in individuals coming across the border seeking asylum. And it has created a real crunch in Massachusetts, which has a policy of providing housing for everyone who needs it. And Governor Maura Healey has been struggling to find the money to house this influx of migrants. So this isn't a border state issue anymore. This is a national issue. And both of the campaigns have addressed this in different ways. Biden has negotiated or been part of a bipartisan piece of legislation to reform some of our immigration policies. And former President Trump let the Republicans in the House know this bill has to die. I'm not going to hand a victory to Joe Biden in this presidential election year, and they want to continue to pound the Biden administration on this. So we're going to hear more about that. It's unclear how much Biden could do, say, simply through executive order in this area, and how much would stand up in court. But this is an issue that neither campaign can avoid this year. And then the third issue is access to abortion. What the two parties are each wrestling with is how to move on from the Dobbs decision, in which the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in summer 2022. And what we know is that former President Trump has said he would like to leave this issue to the states and move on, much as the majority opinion in Dobbs said that this was an issue to be resolved at the state's level. The Biden campaign and Biden supporters say, no, there's got to be more in the discussion here. Former President Trump is responsible through his Supreme Court appointments for the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which has led to a patchwork of abortion laws around the country and heartbreaking stories of women who had to go through serious ordeals because they could no longer get access to services in their states. After former President Trump issued his stated his position on leaving it to the states, Arizona's Supreme Court said it would allow Arizona to enforce a 19th century law virtually banning abortion. And this set up a dynamic in which it's likely that abortion rights advocates are going to work to get a constitutional question on the Arizona ballot for November to enshrine the right to abortion in the Arizona Constitution. And what we know from other parts of the country is that this is an issue that can cut across party lines. We've seen a number of states, some fairly red states, where ballot initiatives have led to further protections on abortion, not just so California, for one, but also Kansas, Kentucky, Montana, Ohio, pretty reliably red states for presidential candidates. So the suggestion is this would put Arizona, a swing state, at risk for former President Trump, because if there is an abortion amendment on the ballot in Arizona, the expectation is that would boost Democratic voter turnout, putting those 11 electoral votes at risk for former President Trump and more available to President Biden. There's also a Senate race in Arizona that could tip the balance of the Senate, and it could be a boon to Congressman Ruben Gallego, who is running as the Democrat against Kari Lake, the Republican. So although the candidates would prefer to feel that they have a handle on these issues, events can overtake them and scramble the dynamic of the race And we've seen that just very, very recently with this Arizona court decision.
So we have just a minute left in this segment, but since our last time having you on the Congressional Corner, there was a primary in Massachusetts and an effort to make another issue a factor in the presidential race, and that is the war in Israel. Some Democrats who were disaffected with the Biden administration were urging voters in Massachusetts and other states to leave their ballot blank. Do you see the situation in the Middle East playing a big role in November?
It's a wild card. That is on some levels a rather insensitive term for what is a just humanitarian catastrophe that's unfolding in the Middle East. And its effect on the race is a bit hard to predict. There has been state after state after state of progressive voters upset about the Biden administration's support for Israel. The Biden administration not calling for an immediate ceasefire. The frustration has played itself out in folks voting none of the above or uncommitted, however the ballot has been structured in these Democratic primary states. I think on this issue that supporters of the Palestinians and critics of Israel who are in the Democratic Party, see this as a point of maximum leverage. I don't suspect that many folks think that Donald Trump, were he to return to the White House, would be better on this issue than Joe Biden. So whether this means people angry with Biden over Gaza will stay home in the fall is an open question. In places like Michigan, with very, very large Arab American populations, and Michigan being a swing state with 16 electoral votes, that could torpedo the Biden campaign. But again, I think the Biden administration will push back and say, we're using our leverage, we're engaging, we're providing humanitarian aid. And do you honestly think that a Trump administration would handle this any differently? But again, it remains to be seen. This is a very difficult issue to game out in this campaign.
We've been speaking with Tim Versalotti from Western New England University. He's a professor of political science and directs Western New England's poll. And when we come back the next time, I've got a Bay State lightning round for you, Tim.
I'll be ready. Thanks, Ian.